Welcome back to part two of That Classic Rock Show. Our next keyboard player loves the blues, but has applied his skills to a diverse range of music and artists. Over the years, Reese Winans has performed or recorded with Duane Allman and Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers, Boss Scaggs, Carole King, Buddy Guy, Willie Nelson, Joe Eli, and a long list of high-profile country acts. But he's best known for his 15-year gig with Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble. He said Stevie Ray had the best phrasing and feel of any guitarist he's ever worked with. So from the 1989 album In Step, let's hear Reese pound the ivories on the song The House Is A-Rockin' and Don't Come A-Knockin'. A few years ago, Reese recorded and toured with another blues rock guitar great, Joe Bonamassa. It was Bonamassa who convinced Reese to record his first ever solo album in 50 years that included an array of impressive blues musicians, including Reese's former bandmates from Double Trouble, Chris Layton on drums and Tommy Shannon on bass. All right, Jim.
Well, who we have now is Oklahoma's pride and joy, the legendary Leon Russell. He's in the Rock and Roll and Songwriters Hall of Fame, and without a doubt is one of the most influential musicians in all of rock and roll history.
He is.
He played piano, guitar, he wrote songs, produced, and organized bands throughout his long 60-year career. And as part of the famed Wrecking Crew group of musicians, he played on 1960s songs by the Beach Boys, The Ventures, and man, so many more. And he also did some Phil Spector productions. But he came to the attention of the public with his collaboration with Joe Cocker that began in 1969 when he co-produced Joe's second studio album, Joe Cocker. I say it that way because it was exclamation mark after Joe Cocker. Leon's song, Delta Lady, from that Joe Cocker album is about his loving relationship with backup singer Rita Coolidge.
Satisfy your longing for the one fantastic.
In the 1970s, Leon toured with Delaney and Bonnie and Friends. He performed with George Harrison at the Concert for Bangladesh, and his musical production work with Joe Cocker's 1970s Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour is rock and roll at its best. And Mark, I know you're a big piano fan. Hopefully you heard the album The Union that he did with Elton John. And Elton John, by the way, considered him a mentor.
Yes.
Good album.
Yeah.
And just wanted to say, one of the greatest concerts I ever saw was in 1973 when Leon Russell played at the Amphitheater in Chicago. Man, he had him dancing in the aisles. And then I saw him again years later in 2012 at a much smaller venue, and he still had them dancing in the aisles.
All right, Jim. To most Rolling Stone fans, the name Ian Stewart draws a blank. But the Scottish-born musician was one of the founding members of the Stones and known within the band circle as the Six Stone. And this is a good anecdote from Keith Richards' autobiography. He said he walked into a Soho bar for what would be the first pre-Stones rehearsal. He heard the most incredible boogie-woogie piano coming from the second floor, and he thought, I've got to play with this guy. Well, it was Ian Stewart, and the rest is history. During the band's struggling years, Stu wore many hats, including that of road manager. But most importantly, he played piano on most of the Stones' albums through 1983, and he was often on stage with the band from 1969 to 1982. Let's listen to Stu on the song Let It Bleed from the 1973 album Let It Bleed. Some of Ian Stewart's biggest piano influences were Professor Longhair, Count Basie, and Fats Domino. He was posthumously inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989 with the Rolling Stones, and they actually demanded his induction. In his autobiography, Keith Richards said the Stones wouldn't have made it without him. Stu often referred to his bandmates as his little three-chord wonders. He was totally unfazed, unchanged by the stardom of his bandmates. Jim, what was the reason Ian Stewart was never officially made a member of the Rolling Stones?
I think I got this, but I may be wrong. Their manager felt that Stewart didn't look like a Rolling Stone. Additionally, he thought that his choice of clothes and the fact that six Rolling Stones would be too many.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. He looked exactly, if you've ever seen pictures of Jay Leno.
Yeah.
A young, that's what he looks like.
Oh, really? Chin?
Big jutting chin. Yeah. And it just did not fit the look of the other guys. So.
Yeah, and Keith Richards is so good looking, so okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith.
And he had his teeth fixed, by the way.
I know
that.
Finally.
All right.
My turn.
Your turn.
Yes, it is my turn. Thank you. The English keyboard rocker Ian McGaughlin, who, by the way, started playing piano at 7, another child prodigy, was a member of the Small Faces that was led by the great Steve Marriott. After Marriott left the band, he was replaced by the taller Rod Stewart and Ronnie Wood, and then they changed their name to just Faces. And this is when this rock and roll band became huge. Obviously, they made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame years later. They were just an amazing band live. Studio stuff was pretty good, but live they were just incredible. One of McGaughlin's instruments of choice through the years was the Hammond B3 organ, which can be heard on the Small Faces' Ichigo Park, as well as Rod Stewart's Maggie May, both big hit songs. He also loved to play a Wurlitzer electric piano, which can be heard on Stay With Me by the Faces and Miss You by the Stones. He did play with the Stones for a while.
I had one of those. That was my first electric piano.
Yeah. When Rod Stewart was recording his third solo album, the great 1971 Every Picture Tells a Story, Rod's cover of The Temptations' I Know I'm Losing You features the entire Faces group rocking it up. Thank you. of my favorite albums of all time, Every Picture Tells a Story. Ian McGaughlin was a much sought-after piano and organ player. He is another one of the piano players we're featuring today who also toured with the Stones. He also toured with Bob Dylan. He also did session work with Chuck Berry, Jackson Browne, and so many more. In the later years of Ian's life, he moved to Austin, Texas, where he lived for a long time, and he formed the band called the Bump Band way back in 1977, and they played many gigs in the area. And because of his relationship with the Rolling Stones, his Bump Band even opened for the Stones in 2006 when they played Austin. Pretty cool. Now, Mark, you know I have to bring this up. You're a big fan of Ian's playing, correct?
Oh, I love the guy's playing. Are you kidding me?
So what show did I beg you to come with me?
Oh, no. I know. You're going to be telling this story forever. Now the whole world's going to know.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, Ian played at Fitzgerald's, and I didn't go because I'm lazy at times.
Yes, and?
You met him, okay. You talked to him. You had him sign his book to me. And yes, I could have been there. Okay, you happy now, Jim?
Yeah, never, ever turn me down again.
I know.
And that's like my godfather.
I know.
Don't you ever
make
me
an offer
down.
I can't refuse. Well, I know.
God. Lazy bum.
Okay. That's right. Just open our world up to our entire audience.
Well, I have more stories, but those will be on future shows.
Okay. I'm sure you do. I have a few stories about you, too.
No, they're all good.
All right. Born in Sheffield, England, Chris Staton has compiled quite a resume. He's performed at Woodstock. You were there, right, Jim?
Yes, I was.
Everybody was at Woodstock.
I was the baby born there.
Yeah. Everybody was at Woodstock. He also performed at Live Aid and the concert for George Harrison. He was a member of Joe Cocker's Grease Band and the infamous Mad Dogs and the Englishmen tour. He's played on legendary albums and with Eric Clapton for over 40 years. Yet despite all this, Staton told Rolling Stone that he's happy just being an Ian Stewart type. You know, the guy off to the side, the anonymous backing guy. He really enjoys just going into restaurants where nobody recognizes him. So, well, here was Staton performing on Eric Clapton's blues album, From the Cradle, recorded in 1994. This song is called Blues Before Sunrise. To our listeners, you'll need to listen closely because Staton's piano rarely dominates. He's just a supporting guy, despite his enormous talent.
I have a blue.
Two of Chris's contemporary piano idols include Nicky Hopkins and Leon Russell, two musicians we covered earlier in today's show. Okay, let's play Stump the Chumps, Jimmy. What instrument did Chris Staton play before turning to piano?
Did you just call me a chump?
There was actually a show called Stump the Chumps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Xylophone.
Close. Actually, he was a bass player until 1968. But Joe Cocker loved his piano playing so much that he thrust him into a new role in his band, and that's how it started. Staton met his wife of 51 years in Chicago and currently has a YouTube channel that features songs he and his wife have written. Like all of today's players, he remains that unassuming guy who just sits back there and tickles the ivories.
Well, that's our show for today. I hope everyone enjoyed it. This was a fun one putting together. Please join us each week for songs and talk about the greatest era of rock and roll music.
We are on every Monday from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Our shows are also available on demand and accessible 24/7 from anywhere in the world. Just visit the station's website.
Our book, Classic Rock Photographs from Yesterday and Today, can be found on Amazon. And to view my photography, please visit my website at jimsamariaphoto.com. Hey, you could also find us on Facebook.
And if you have a topic that you'd like us to feature, please go to the Huntley Community Radio website or email the station at hcr@huntleyradio.org.
And you've been listening to the Classic Rock Show with Jim Samari and Mark Plotnick on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP. Say it with me, Mark.
101.5 FM.
Thanks again for listening.